Everyone has that drive. The Bible says he's placed on the heart of every man the law of God. Romans chapter 1. And so, in John chapter 1 as well, we think about that, that our only way our spiritual being will be satisfied is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that void to be filled. It can't be filled with money. It can't be filled with a, you know, Six Flags trip down the Shockwave, or I like the Titan. It's awesome. And down the Titan, it can't be satisfied with taking the vacation, and it can't be satisfied with any other way. It can only be satisfied through Jesus Christ. That's where real joy, peace, and so forth comes from. And we are created to glorify Him. We were created to bring Him glory, Ephesians chapter 1. Our purpose, again, is to be conformed to the image of His Son, and one day we will be glorified completely. And that's what we're looking forward to. But we're in the process of growing to that direction. We are to bring Him glory. By the way, we're going to bring Him glory in heaven. Now, that's another message, but we're going to bring Him glory in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. And so we are created, we are here to bring God glory. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, and I'm going to go read that real quick. And the Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Of the fullness of Christ. Again, we are working that direction to glorification. We are working to be full. Be full with what? Full with the spiritual sustenance that only Christ can give. Full. We should live to glorify Him. We should live to glorify Him. Let me clarify. We should live to glorify Him now. Do all to the glory of God. We should be becoming more and more like Jesus. More and more like Him. Every day. Why? Why should we do that? As Christians, we know we're heaven bound. Why should we do that? Well, 1 John 3:3 says our motivation is the return of Christ. Now, we can go throughout the Bible. We know, again, as we preached the last time, love is a great motivator. But one of the motivators is the return of Christ. Christ is coming again, and we will give an account. We will. And we need to be ready for that day. It could be today. That's why we should glorify Him now. There is no higher purpose, listen to this, or goal than to strive to be like Him. You can pursue a master's degree, a doctorate degree. You can pursue an athletics of becoming the best at whatever sport it may be. You can achieve and strive to do whatever, you know, run a marathon or whatever it may be. But there is no greater goal. There is no greater goal. There is no greater purpose than to strive to be like Jesus Christ. That is the pinnacle. That is the highest purpose that we can have. Becoming like Him is a daily process. I read this morning, again, the Bible said in John there, take up thy cross daily and follow Me. It's a daily process as we strive to be like Him. It is one of devotion. In other words, if you are going to strive to run a mile. My brother was a long-distance runner. I've told some of these stories before, but my brother was a long-distance runner. So was my sister. I was not a long-distance runner. God did not give me long legs. I was made for the short haul. I was made to move stuff. You want to move a piano? That's my time. Me and Brother John. Want to move a piano? Yes. Let's move a piano. But my brother was made for the long haul. I mean, he was good, too. And he almost broke the record in our high school for the mile, for whatever it was, 420 or something ridiculous. I don't know. I couldn't run. It takes me 10 minutes to run a mile, even back when I was in shape. But boy, he trained. He'd get up in the morning, he'd run 10 miles. He'd come back in the evening, he'd run 5 miles. Over, and I would try to go with him every once in a while, and it'd just kill me. But he'd do this day after day. My sister running 5 miles and 10 miles and, you know, 15 miles. I said, that's just nuts. Nobody does that. But they trained. They were devoted to their sport. They were devoted to the race. They were devoted. They had a purpose. And they wanted to win regionals. And they wanted to win state. And so they spent a lot of time an effort being and devoted to fulfilling that goal or that purpose. And can I tell you, I think sometimes we as Christians are not devoted enough to being conformed to the image of Christ, to reaching that glorification. We put a lot of effort into our jobs, put a lot of effort into our families, put a lot of effort into our kids, and being the typical soccer mom and, is it soccer dad? I don't know. But, you know, man, we'll spend a lot of time, but we need to be devoted above all those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek those things which are above. We should be devoted. We should be, the Bible says, addicted to the Lord. Devoted to becoming like Him. Devoted to that process. Devoted to the sanctification. He is the one we are to imitate. He is the one we are to admire. And you know, you still walk into teenagers' rooms and you see the posters of whomever, a football player. I don't know what the girls put up on their doors or walls. My kids don't put up nothing. But anyway, that's up to you. But they, you know, they have their sports players up on the walls and they admire them and whatever. Can I tell you, there's no greater person we can admire than Jesus Christ. And you know that. Preaching to the choir tonight. We ought to be devoted to the process and the purpose of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. John, in his epistles, especially the first epistle, and we're not going to take the time to go over there, you can do this, expected them to live like Jesus. He said it over and over again, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. He said that term four times, as He is, as He is, as He is. It's all about Him. It's all about being like Him. It's all about living for Him. John, and the apostle in his epistles, made that very, very clear. We walk in the light as He is in light. We have fellowship one with another. We ought to follow Jesus. We ought to walk in Him, walk in His light. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were put into the family of God. The Bible in John chapter 13 describes that as being in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. You remember the Jesus talking there? Can I say that it says there we ought to abide in Him? And as we abide in Him, we understand and know the Holy Spirit is there to help us. And the Holy Spirit is not just there to, you know, get us out of the water when we drown or something. The Holy Spirit's there to help us with our, encourage us, strengthen us in our character and conduct. Can I say again that grace is given to us to live godly? Grace is not just given to us in salvation, and we're not just saved by grace, but we ought to live by grace. And then grace enables us, empowers us to live a godly life, and the Holy Spirit is there shedding that grace abroad and shedding that power abroad in our hearts to help us in our character and conduct. Can I tell you that it's very hard for an individual to change his character? I mean, that pretty well happens when you're young. You know, that character is molded and shaped. They say before the age of six, even. A child is that mold is almost set. Very difficult for you to break a child after that and break a child. It's very difficult for you to break a child's will after that and to help steer them a different direction. My youngest one took a little longer than six. And you just keep at it. But you know, being consistent and trying to break their will without breaking their spirit. Y'all all know this, taught it before. And so, but again, we think about that the Lord is there and the Lord can do anything. The Holy Spirit can do anything. The Holy Spirit can change someone's character when they're 35. The psychologist won't do it. The therapist won't do it. It's just not going to happen. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved and you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a part of the family of God and you become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and abides in you, and all of a sudden you have the energy and the power to change character. And to change, of course, then if you change character, you change conduct. Remember, again, the Lord changes us from the inside out, not the opposite way. Amen. You can clean yourself on the outside all you want, but it doesn't matter a hill of beans. The first time the pressure comes on, you'll crack. But the character is right. The inside is right. Y'all see on the news where that some big famous tree, oak tree that was 175 years Got some of y'all shaking hand, yeah? And you know what they found out why that tree was damaged in the storm? It was rotten on the inside. So Jesus Christ, and we abide in Him, the Holy Spirit enables us and helps us in our character and conduct to do what? To serve as Jesus served. All right, so now we get to the practical part of this. If we're to be conformed to the image of His Son, what does that mean? Well, it means that we ought to follow His example. We are to serve as He served. Greatest example of that in the New Testament is Jesus washing the feet of His disciples. Whew, I still think, I don't know. I barely can touch my wife's feet. That's when they're clean. Anyway, but He washed their feet. Washed their feet. He was a servant. We ought to follow His example. Not that we should wash each other's feet, but we ought to serve one another. Servant. It's not about who's at the front, right? We are going to suffer as He suffered. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I'm going to go read that because we have preached that verse before. It's a tremendous passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. A little book in our bookstore. I don't know if we still have them, called In His Steps. Great little book if you haven't read it. And we ought to follow in His steps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called. What are we called to do? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye, that's plural, should follow in His steps. That ye should follow his steps. We should follow his steps. We're to follow Jesus Christ. We're to walk in His steps, like the little boy following his dad, you know, in the snow, trying to jump from step to step, keeping his dad's tracks. That's our goal. It's a step where Jesus stepped, to walk as He walked. And then one of the ways in which we do that is to serve as He served. You know, most people, again, think about number one. That's what we're taught, you know. Not only what we're taught, but we're also naturally. Our old flesh just looks out for number one. And Jesus looked out for others. Jesus suffered. And so will we. And I think, listen, I think especially my generation and on, there is definitely a tendency and a leaning towards Christian suffering. There may be great suffering of Christians before Jesus returns. We don't know. There's a court case going on right now that the Supreme Court will take up in November that for Christian schools who have been exempt from the law that requires you to hire like regular businesses, that you can't discriminate on religion or anything. Well, of course, if you're a Baptist church, you're going to discriminate hiring Christian school teachers. You want teachers that believe like your church believes. Well, that's being challenged. So get ready. And it's to the Supreme Court now. That's what I'm saying. We live in a day that's just unbelievable. And so understand that Jesus suffered, so will we. And then number three, we think about His sacrifice. His sacrifice. Again, the Holy Spirit helps us as we go through these and helps us to serve others. Helps us, again, through the suffering and the sacrifice for others. And then sacrifice is the third one. He became poor, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for our sake. He became poor that we might be made rich. He left the glory of heaven in order that we might be made rich. By the way, we give because He commanded us to. But not just because He commanded us to, but we give because it's Christ-like. I'm talking about not just giving money in the offering plate, but giving to others, sharing with others, being kind. Please rewind. Number four, we were talking about VHSs today. It's submission. And we could actually, anybody could come up with a list of these. I mean, you could come up with 20 of these. And there's no exact list. The list is be like Christ. Submission. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That we ought to think like Him. We ought to be submissive like Him. The Bible says there in Philippians as well, in chapter 2, that He died even the death of the cross, that he humbled himself. He became a servant. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. You know, we don't empty ourselves. We like to fill ourselves. You know, we like ourselves to be taken care of before somebody else. He made himself of no reputation. We worry about our reputation. We worry what others think about us. He made himself of no reputation. Listen, we need to submit and be submissive to him. And then again, sanctification, setting ourselves apart to do God's will. And there are a lot of areas we could read about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are... And these are examples of how Christ was and examples of how Christ lived. Everyone with me? The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, examples of how Christ was, how he is. These are examples that we are to follow. So you could go read Matthew. You could go read Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes sermon that Jesus preached, and you could follow that example, right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, mercy. We could follow that example. That's Christ-like, correct? Yes? We follow that example. We follow the Scripture's example. We think about, again, the Gospel gives us life examples of Jesus Christ. If you read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would see those examples of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he dealt with his disciples. That would give you a lesson on how to deal with other people. We think about the Gospels and how he dealt with his family, how he dealt with his enemies, how Jesus dealt with his enemies. We should follow his example. How Jesus dealt with his, you know, and go on and on and on. This would go into every area of our life. How Jesus, lived when he was falsely accused. Follow his steps. Think about tools for growth. So if we're going to grow to be conformed to the image of his Son, we're getting from justification to glorification. We're headed that way. Here is three or four points that you have heard, many of you, because some of you have been a Christian a long time, you've heard these same things over and over again. So, since the Bible says he's given us some tools in our tool belt in order for us to live the Christian life as he intended for us to live it, what are they? Number one is the Word of God, of course. The Word of God is there to give us the information we need to be like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we behold in the glass darkly. Let's go over there and look at that again. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, I'll let you get there. The Word of God, again, is our tool for growth. It's our tool in order to become like Christ, to strive and to be like Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that word glass there is mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So listen now, we read the Word of God with purpose. We don't just read it to get our Bible reading done for the day, but we read it in order to see Jesus Christ. We don't just come to church in order just to come to church and hear some preaching, but we come to see Christ afresh and new every Sunday. We've been preaching on the seven miracles of Christ. I've enjoyed that in the Gospel of John because I've got to see again Jesus Christ as he performed these great miracles. And to see him afresh and new. As we behold in the glass, as we look into the Word of God, and as it is a mirror, as it shows us the image of Christ, the Bible again bleeds on every page the blood of Jesus Christ. As we see Jesus Christ in the Scripture, as we see the glory of God, that means who and what he is in the Scripture, we are changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Amen? We read our Bibles with purpose. Our Bible reading is with purpose. And of course, we read the Bible many times and get comforted and all those things out of the Bible. But we read the Bible with purpose in order that we might see Jesus Christ afresh, that we might see him. I love reading many times, and I did here recently. I was reading a portion of Scripture, and just something popped out at me that I'd never seen before. I was like, wow, you know, that's amazing. And so we read the Bible and to see Christ not only afresh, but many times brand new. In a new light that maybe we never seen before. It's like, again, looking at a diamond at different facets. see the glory of God. We are transformed by the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts. It's the Holy Spirit that makes change, and not we ourselves. And we are transformed for the glory of God. So the Bible is our first tool. And number two is people. People, those around us who... I would say it's not just the good people, by the way. Difficult people sometimes are great opportunities to teach us to be patient, teach us to be kind, teach us to be loving. So it's not just, you know, good people that give us the opportunity to grow, but it's difficult people. It's the unsaved, spouse. It's the children that are difficult sometimes that enables us to grow. It's the boss. It's the employees. It's the neighbor. Whomever it may be, it's people that are around us. By the way, Joseph forgave his brethren. That was difficult. The apostle Paul stopped the jailer from killing himself. It was difficult. So people help us to grow. And then C is the difficult circumstances. Number three is difficult circumstances. This is one we cover a lot. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. We understand and know that as our faith is going to be tested, it grows as it's being tested. And when we are tested, and when difficult circumstances come, we should ask the question, is it because of obedience or disobedience? Because both can happen. Right? We think of Jonah was disobedient. The disciples, when Jesus said for them to get in the boat and go on the other side, and they came into a storm, but they were being obedient. So difficult circumstances help us in our Christian walk. They help us in our growth process, but it may be, again, obedience or disobedience. And if it's disobedience, we need to get right with the Lord. And if it's obedience, we need to ride the storm by way of the Holy Spirit and let it strengthen us and conform us to the image of a son. Again, the purpose of every storm, the purpose of every difficult circumstances is that in order we might be molded into the image of Jesus Christ, conformed to His image. In difficulties, we must respond as Christ did. How did Christ respond? Hebrews chapter 12 says He responded with joy. Hebrews 12:2, you can go read it later. He responded with joy. He reviled not, the Bible says. When those people were slapping Him, whatever, and false accusations, He reviled not. He was silent when He had done nothing wrong. That was His reaction to difficult circumstances. We need to be like Jesus. Can I tell you tonight that Satan also has a plan? Satan has a plan as well. He'll oppose the person who is striving to obey God and become like Jesus. Remember in the Garden of Eden, He wanted Eve to abandon the Word of God. Yea, hath God said. He wants you to abandon the Word of God. The quickest road down a lonely, dreary, dark path is for you to leave off reading your Bible. You want to get yourself in a heap of mess? Stop reading your Bible. You want to save yourself from a heap of mess? Start reading your Bible. Read your Bible, pray every day, so you grow. Grow, grow. Remember the little children's song? Grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible. Satan says, yea, hath God said. He questions the Bible. He wants us to doubt the Bible. But can I tell you again that we need the Bible. We must obey the Bible. He wants us to believe Him. Whispers in your ear every once in a while says, oh, you can get by with it. No, you reap what you sow. You can't get by with it. Eat of the fruit and you can be like gods, knowing what? Good and evil. That's where the world's at today, by the way. The world today says, I've got the right to decide what's right and wrong. We had that, remember that chart at the beginning of the year, we talked about right and wrong, who determines right, who determines wrong. That the only person who can determine right is the Lord, because He's above us. Amen? No, we don't determine right and wrong. The Lord determines right and wrong. Satan doesn't determine right and wrong. The Lord determines right and wrong. good and evil. Our nation's in a mess today because of that. Pluralism, secularism, all these things. Everything politically correct. Immorality. Satan has a plan as well. Can I again challenge you tonight? Let's follow in His steps. Not Satan's steps, the Lord's steps. By way of the Holy Spirit, we can go from justification to glorification. That we can be conformed and molded in the image of His Son. You say, well, what do I get out of it? Abundant life. A life of joy. A life of peace. Not a life without suffering, but peace through suffering. Joy through suffering. The wild ones aren't here tonight. I have, over the years, had an opportunity, or not opportunity, but just the whatever's happened to deal with several children, two or three, that have had life-threatening, you know, problems. And some of y'all remember little Matthew Pippin years ago. And one of the blessings I got was to go see him at the hospital. Little boy with leukemia. You walk in, he was smiling. It was amazing. His parents were amazed. How in the world is this little boy of 8, 9, 10, how does this little boy have such peace? How does this little boy have such joy? Can I tell you that God gives us grace in those difficult circumstances? I know there's some here tonight that God has given you that grace when you needed it. So we're not saying that God gives us a life without problems. But boy, when you're going from justification to glorification in the middle of that, life is abundant. Life is one of joy and peace and gladness. It's amazing. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. Glad I have the Holy Spirit who abides in me. And because He abides in me, He's conforming me into the image of His Son. And we need to remember the tools He uses. The tools He uses to conform us is the Bible, people, circumstances. And let's allow those tools to be used. Because my purpose is to be like Jesus. Let's all stand.